I'm not sure both sides if I owe an apology or not. I sat down late last night to make up the schmooze, and I was a little, I guess, confused, and I took out my notes and my parsha from Vayichi. So I apologize, not on purpose, but I don't know if it needs an apology. Vayichi is also part of Torah, no? It's last week, next week, whatever. If an apology is necessary, I apologize to both. I bet this is in Shabbos, you're not going to someone's house, say it's Vayichi Torah, so you can have last week's schmooze in your mind this Shabbos. It's fine. Anyway, but I think it's a two very simple, beautiful shmuzer on both sides. The pasuk brings, talks about when Yaakov was an elderly individual, he's afraid he would die soon, he brought his son Yosef in, and he asked him to please make sure you bury him, bury me. He said, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. Vayomri shov ali, vayi shov ago. He says, please swear to me. He swore to him. Vayishtachu Yisrael arosh hamita. And he bowed down, Rosh Hamit, talk Rosh Baruch Hu. Says, as Sforno, he shavali. Why did he ask him to swear? What was the purpose of the Shua? Raman, yilcha pischam peh. So I want you to swear, not because I don't trust you or anything like that, and I'm sure you'll do it, but rather because you need a little more, armor, a little more weaponry to go ahead and respond to Paro. Pischam peh negdam mirsul rimchos. If Paro would want, or I guess Paro or the people in Mitzrayim want to make a macha, so take a shvua now, and he said, listen, I can't go against the shvua, right? I can't go against the shvua, I can't do that. So to give him more firepower, to go ahead and enable himself to be victorious, to help Yosef be victorious against any potential opposition, he says, swear. But in terms of the actual concern that he had, maybe he won't want to do it, then of course he had no problem with that. So Yaakov Yosef takes a shvua, Vayishtach Yisrael, and Yisrael bows down. Says Sforno, why did he bow down? Lahodos lekono, al shachanano lahasig zem espino. Hakadosh Baruch was so nice to him to acquire this, that his son should be merutzah to go ahead and do it. Kinyan vayikasher shama ever Avram es devrayim vayishtach arza Avram. I'm sorry, Eliezer ever Avram went ahead when he heard that Besuel and Lavan and Rivka, they all agreed to go with Eliezer to go be a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So he bowed down. He was thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see, you're supposed to go ahead and be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these things. Well, it's very mudda. Normally speaking, right? I think even in that case, the example that Sforno brings, I'm not sure. It's a little hard to tell over there, but Pashtra over there. It was like, he was trying to make sure that they agree, and Fakir, when he spoke, when Eliezer was instructed by Avraham Avinu initially to go take this mission and go get a wife, so part of Eliezer's concern to Avraham was, Ulai lo savei shulecha sacharai, right? Maybe she won't want to come back, who knows, a big trip, and move away from her parents' house and her family, where she grew up, the whole business, so it's definitely not Pashit, and it was unclear, unpredictable what will happen. So it makes a lot of sense when Eliezer hears that Baruch Hashem, his mission is being successful, every step is happening. He first meets the right person at the well. He thanks Hashem over there for bringing the right person. Now he goes in and is almost finished with his deal. And the whole family agreed that she'll go. Okay, Baruch Hashem, thank you. It's like a guy goes ahead and has a big deal coming. Big deal, he's negotiating deal, and he's not sure if we'll make the deal or not. He davens for days before, Hashem, please help me and make sure I get this deal. It's worth me. It's worth $100,000 for me. I need parnasa, and it's not so posh. It's yat shmayas. Then it happens. Baruch Hashem, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the case over there, it sounds like. But in this case, over here, both sides, it's ipcha, it's just the opposite over here. Over here, it's so posh. If I care, the first Sforno says that the one reason why he made him swear, it's not because he wanted to make sure that he'll have to keep the shvua, and now he's stuck, he can't get out of it. Not because of that. He wouldn't have to swear for that. Avada, Yosef was his favorite son. Yosef was taught everything he got from, everything that Yaakov Avinu got from Yeshiva Shem Avery. He was moser to Yosef. He was a favorite son. And the favorite son is now hearing his father's death wish. He's on his deathbed almost. And he says, please, make sure you do me a favor. When you go out, take me to Eretz Yisrael and bury me there. And Yosef was the powerful ruler, and he knew that especially once he takes the shvua, maybe without a shvua, but especially once he takes the shvua, that Paro's going to have to let him go. So Yosef had the power to go ahead and do it. So of course Yosef will say yes. What's the big deal? It's a no-brainer, right? So who goes ahead and said that time, oh, thank you Hashem for Yosef's agreeing. Of course he agreed. It's such a chutzpah, such a patch and punim and such rebelliousness if you wouldn't say such chutzpah, if you wouldn't say yes. It's pasha, what's, you know, you take it for granted. Like I say, I don't think people go ahead, and I think the natural thing is that people don't go ahead and say thank you Hashem every time something normal happens. You know, you go into the kitchen, you go into the dining room, and Mr. Stoll cooked the food, and there's food ready over there. Oh, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me lunch today. You know, make sure Mr. Stoll didn't rebel and not want to cook today. Or the delivery didn't come, which comes every single day for the last 10 years, didn't come. On both sides, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way a Gadol responds. The vision, the perspective that we should have is one that nothing is taken for granted. Even though I can probably predict it, and I can take a shvur the rice, it might even happen, you know, but it's not predictable. It's not, you can't take it for granted. Because you borrow who, not pshat, I'm not sure if it'll happen. But even if I'm allowed to assume it'll happen, but you have to always recognize there's no derech hateva, there's no nature, there's no predictability in terms of the way things go in the world, because science dictates, you know, I go outside and I plant and everything was fine, and let's say it's the perfect weather, and it always has been perfect weather, but of course all my tomatoes will grow and I'll have a beautiful crop. Both sides, there's no such thing. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that Hashem made it, the fact that Hashem set the things, wheels in motion, that it should be so simple to happen, that Yosef should feel indebted for all the above reasons, Yosef should have the power to go and do and implement it. The fact that that'll happen, that's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem makes it predictable, makes the teva that should happen like that. So we have to both say it's very important to always recognize that whatever happens, you know, you go home. You're going for, vacation, you're going, whatever you're going, right? And you go home and you ask mommy, you know, can I have some, you know, my favorite dish is a certain type of chicken. And she says, of course I'll make it. You know, she hasn't seen you in months and she's so happy you're here. So of course she'll do it, right? So you say, oh, Hashem, thank you for my mother, the fact that she agreed to make my favorite chicken. Right? You gonna do that? I hope you do. But my prediction is most of us, myself, will not respond that way. You see how Yaakov Avinu responds. Something is predictable and so you can gamble on it. You can gamble that it'll happen. You can put your money and make a fortune if you're gambling on this. It'll happen, but it's all about Hashem. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu setting things in motion. It makes the proper things go into people's minds. That's how we have to see things. In a little similar area of Osai, we find also later in the parasha, when Yaakov Avinu was blessing his sons or criticizing some of his sons, Reuven b'chori ata kochi v'reishis only yeses yeser oz pachas kamay mal tosar, you're very quick with alacrity, you went too fast, ki olisa mishkvei avicha oz chiralti tzuya ra, right, you went ahead, and that's referring to, as Chazal says, referring to that he switched around the beds after Rachel died, so Pashat over there was because he wanted to protect his mother's cover, whatever Rashi over there says that, but he switched around the beds. And so he went ahead and you made a chilul, right? You my yitzui, my bed, you were mechagel. You, it was disgrace what you did. Says Ramban, very interesting. What was the criticism, or what was Reuven's motivation? Ki Reuven niskaven lifsol es bila me'aviv. Right, Reuven went ahead. What was his intention? Why did he want to go ahead and get rid of Bilah, put Leah's bed there instead? He wanted to apostle Bilah, I guess it means take it away, whatever, not make it available. K'deishlo teyodlo od banim, that she shouldn't have any more children from him. V'yamitu b'charaso, more kids in the house is less money to go. The same amount of money, but more feeds, more people to feed, more Yerusha, right? Less Yerusha per person. His b'char. Right, he was supposed to get double. Right, he was supposed to get double the amount. If you do your math, so especially the person who's supposed to get double loses at the most every extra kid you have. Right, he's supposed to get. That's fine with you. If you do the math yourself, I don't have to do it for you. But he'll lose out a lot. Another child to divide it, and I have a double portion, so my double is worth a lot less than it was before. So he wanted to make sure there were no more children, and Bilah shouldn't have any more children, and therefore he took Bilah's bet out. Therefore Yaakov says to him, you're a fool, it's just a mad rush, you weren't thinking. You just lose out. I just brought down the Ramban, this Ramban he refers to, the Ramban back in Vayishlach, Baderach Hapshat explains a little more, but the same idea. Yitochen shekilkel, I'm sorry, shebilbel, Reuven Yisuya Bila, right? Why did he mess up the bed? He took away Bila's bed. Bipachado shelo teilad Yaakov out. From his concern, he was afraid that maybe she'll give birth there. If he wanted to make sure she doesn't give birth anymore. Kiwa b'chor. B'chosh v'al kachash nechalakim. He's going to take double portion. Yafsid yosrim mikol achim. He'll be the biggest loser. Not just the loser like everyone else. He'll be a bigger loser because he's supposed to get double portions. So twice as much he'll lose. V'al pachad me'imo. Aye, what about the fact that he put Leah's bed in there? So they also have children? No. He's a Kena Haisa. She was really old. She wouldn't have any more children. Mistami thought. V'al meisa Zilpa. What about Zilpa? Zilpa was maybe was dead, or Chashul covered Imo, Babur Yosef Chos, maybe the Stami was, I'm not sure what he means over here exactly, but that's another Pshat. V'ochein Nitra men of HaBechorah, therefore the was decreed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he shouldn't have, that Reuven should not be the Bechorah anymore. Midah Kekamidah, he wanted to protect his Bechorah, I think he means, therefore took away the Bechorah. V'zel Tam V'yub Nereshin Ben HaKadosh Neim Oshri, Kilo Hogad Achrei Kain. There were no children afterwards. But that's what he's saying, that the reason why Reuven's plan was they shouldn't have any more children because he wanted to make more money. It's a great investment, right? He was a very good accountant, mathematician. He figured it all out. If there's more kids, right? So he'll have less money. He'll have less money then. So what's Yaakov's response? Right? Pachas Kamayim says the Ramban said before, Alkein Omero, Shupachizus, V'kalos Adas, Sheyachshav Harviach Bo. Again, Rabosa, you see, is, I mean, the world runs like this, Rabosai, right? In fact, it happened to be by shared. I mean, someone told me, I was talking to someone with a local in town, relevant to obviously, you'll see what I mean. But the person told me that one of his children are upset. They have kind of a large family, and he's upset at the mother said this, you know, I heard from someone else, but the mother said to someone that one of my children are upset at me for having more children. She's expecting now. Look at Elmeister right now. She's expecting another child. And one of the children said to her, you know, Mommy, you know, we have such a big family. What are you doing? You can't even take care of all of us. You have no time for us. I don't know exactly what she said, but something like that. She complained to the mother. She had time to the mother. What do you need more children for? Right? That's a derech hateva. Right? You're affecting me. You have more children. You're affecting me. That's all he was saying over here. Okay, so we know it's not, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but Yaakov's response wasn't just that. Well, don't worry, you know, it's not nice what you're doing, and you know, and you're chutzpah. It's definitely a chutzpah, no question. But Yaakov's response was, it's pechizus. It's just haste. It's like you didn't think. Like, where was your head? What do you think? What are you talking about? The kalos das, and it's like lightheadedness. You think you'll make more money this way? You're gonna work on Shabbos, so you'll make more money? Yeah. What do you mean? Everyone makes more money. It's not a pechizus. Okay, ashkof for this and that. You know. On both sides. From a godless perspective, it's mamish foolish, it's stupidity. You'll think for a second that if you have more kids, you'll make less money? Yeah, what do you mean? Isn't that's, you know, 101 math 101, right? There's less kids, more kids, there's less money. Less kids, there's more money, right? That's how it works, right? No, but if you do it not in a proper way, if it's not done properly, and you do it with that, with chutzpah, mechil Hashem, It's stupid. It's like it's off the wall. How can you think of working on Shabbos? Like it's like even more extreme, but it's not derech eretz. It's a chil Hashem yikor. It's a chil. I'm not sure chil Hashem. A chil what? It's a chil. It's not nice. You machal my bed and it's a chutzpah. Not derech eretz. How can you possibly think that by doing something which is inappropriate you'll make more money? I don't care what all the accountants say. They don't know what they're talking about. I guarantee you, right? Yaakov's telling his son that I don't care how many kids I'll have. It won't affect your bottom line, because the bottom line is Tanya Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what he's saying. Okay, I think he says even more than that. I think he means to say more, and mice, you'll lose that because of that. You're not Beira. But the first thing was, it's stupid. How can you think you'll make any more money? It's not Shaiach. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reward someone. I can't make any more money by going in and doing something which is wrong, which is a lack of Derech Eretz, which causes a chill of my covet. How can you even think such a thing? It's like, it's stupid. I mean, it's not so stupid. The whole belt thinks like that, right? But if you have clarity, if you have korkak in that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge, and the money comes from me, so, okay, there's more kids and more kids. Well, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. Okay. It's not just a cheshire, both say. It's just like chorus, push. It's like a joke. It's bechizus. You must have been insane when you were there. You must have been drunk. It must have been Purim, or maybe a Friday night after, I don't know, whatever, right? But it must have been some reason. You must be high on who knows what, you know? You must be on drugs or something, right? We don't talk, it's not even shayach to make more money because there'll be less kids. Less kids not going to help you at all. That's insane. There'll be less kids, but how'd you do it? You did it in such a crazy way. That doesn't make any sense. I got a broker in charge. Obviously, there was shtadlus, you know, but that's the b'derech ha-torah, p'yalocha, p'musra, p'yashra, p'yderech eres, k'derech, whatever it might be. Rabbi also, it's so important to know. It's all the same concept, right? Because Baruch Hu is in charge. We have to thank Hashem for everything that happens to us. The simplest things. I wake up in the morning, of course, say Moda Ani. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever happens, not just the Moda Anis. It's that Chazal Musakim for us. But you have to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. I get up off my chair. It's normal. I'm healthy, thank God. But thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for making sure the Rebbe wasn't upset at me. Or I had a nice kasha today. I'm the best guy. You know, a guy, he's the best guy in yeshiva. And every time in high school, let's say, and every test he gets 100, 105, 110. And it's easy for him. Does that guy say, oh, thank you, Hashem, I got 110 today? He gets it every single day. Doesn't mean anything to him. Thank you, Hashem, both. That's what we have to do. Thank you, Hashem. And recognize that everything's b'yad Hashem. The good he does to us and the chesed he does to us. And the fact that are we hurt or not hurt, are we going to lose money or not, this is all telling Ratzon Hashem. And if we do what's right, we have faith, HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us, the best what's best for us. If we don't do what's right, you'll not make a penny on anything you do, which is not appropriate.